Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
I'm joined by Hall of Famer John Smoltz. Smoltzy, tell me this. What's harder, winning a Cy Young or an Emmy Award?
Oh, man. Winning a Cy Young. It takes a lot longer to happen. You know, it's funny when you mention something like that. I just go back to all those years of being predicted to win and just feeling like a failure. But in 96, fortunately, I was able to at least get that off my back because that was starting to bother me.
Download the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
One of those rare moments where I sound like a complete and total idiot. All right, fine. They're not that rare, but at least I can laugh at myself. And you can laugh at me, which is the best part. People tell me, my friends, people who know me, friends and family tell me I'm so funny. And I really don't feel that way. I just think I do ridiculous stuff that makes people laugh. But that's fine. For the sake of the show, for the sake of entertainment, I do not mind if you're laughing at me or near me. Better if you're laughing with me, but then people yell at me because they don't like my laugh. It's one of the reasons why I love my new beau. I finally found the one person in the entire United States of America who laughs louder and more obnoxiously than I do. Good morning to all of you. I'm sorry that I'm waking you up with my laugh. You too, Bob. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, our Facebook page, YouTube channel. If you're looking for some inspiration, some summertime inspiration, we've got our latest video version of Ask Amy Anything, and it's in a brand new locale. We never tried a video in there before. I just want to give you some insight about what was happening before we recorded the video. Producer Jay is buzzing about looking for a place to prop up his iPad, his device that was going to tape it. And I didn't like the lighting, so then we're moving around, and then he's trying to prop it up, and it nearly falls off of this high camera perch where it's sitting. So then he may have dropped a word that we can't use on the radio now and then because he's mad because it wasn't the way he thought, and I didn't like the lighting. Then we had to switch microphones. Oh, yeah. It was fury and furor. But the video turned out really well. And of course, he says to me after he edits it down for YouTube and has to get my approval before it goes up on YouTube, after he edits it down and we're getting ready to post it, well, I really think this is the best location we've ever had. I really think this is the best setting we've ever had before. Well, of course it is. It better be after all the energy you put into it. So he would love it if you would check out our latest summertime version, video version. It was right around July 4th of Ask Amy Anything. That's on our YouTube channel. And maybe, just maybe, I'll share that with you on our social coming up later on this Friday. It's going to be a fantastic Friday. It's going to be, I can feel it in my bones. It's going to be fun. Freedom. Is that a Braveheart thing? Freedom. It's going to be a Braveheart Friday. There you go. So we're glad to have you with us. Good morning to you if you're just waking up. I'm going to drop a little bit of Kyler Murray on you this hour. Why? Well, because he's making some pretty extensive comments for what feels like the first time. We haven't heard from him in quite a while as he's rehabbing from this torn ACL. And every now and then we'll see him or a quote will pop up or it'll be on social. But with the Cardinals website and the Cardinals flight plan, he's actually talked about what this process has been like for him and what his goal is in terms of returning from the torn ACL that he did in just December, actually. I had that surgery in early January. So we appreciated hearing from him. So we have to drop in on the last show of the work week. We've been talking about running backs because there's some pretty impressive running backs, a stable of free agent running backs that don't have homes yet, even as we get close to the start of training camps. Now, do they necessarily need to be in camp? Well, maybe not, except Running backs are also responsible for blocking a lot of them, and they do need to know if they're working with a new quarterback. They've got to have the playbook and the language and the terminology and, of course, the inflections and yada, yada, yada. If you're changing teams and you're going from a system that you were comfortable, let's say Zeke, for example, a system where you're comfortable and you're starting over. Cowboys was the only place he'd ever known. Dak was the only quarterback, really. I know Dak went through some injuries, but Dak was his quarterback for the majority of the time. They got into the league together. So wherever he ends up, different terminology, different quarterback, different style of leadership, obviously different coaches, different schemes. It's not just about taking the ball and running. It's about what the O-line is doing. It's about the blocking assignments. Certainly recognizing the different run action or play action, excuse me, and the various wrinkles that can come out of play action, which is a big tool these days in the NFL. If you're a running back who catches the ball out of the backfield a bunch, there's that element too. So as much as veterans don't necessarily love going to training camp, if you're changing teams, it's paramount that you get there. And yet we got a bunch of guys that are still waiting for homes. Meanwhile, the Detroit Lions are defending their early draft pick. I don't know if you remember, Ryan is working with us on this edition of the show. It's great to have him for a second straight night. How comfortable do you feel, Ryan?
I'm chilling right now.
You're chilling. All right. Don't be chilling so much that you're checking out back there. So Ryan was part of a group effort on our last show and trained on our last show. First time ever on After Hours, and now he's running the whole show by himself. I don't know. We may decide that producer Jay can stay on vacation. Just kidding. Jay, I was just kidding. I'm sure Jay's not listening. He's probably asleep on a couch somewhere. That's what he does. He falls asleep on the couch. Anyway, all right. So do you remember draft night, Ryan?
Yes.
When the Lions decided to go with Jahmyr Gibbs out of Alabama at the number 12 overall pick?
I honestly took a second to remember who he was because I'm not the biggest yes. college football fan. I was like, oh.
I don't Alabama. Think you were the only one.
Yeah, but I was like, why?
Exactly. That was the reaction from pretty much everyone around the league and otherwise. Why? Analysts, same thing. Well, Brad Holmes is now, and he did this great conversation with Peter Schrager on, I think it's called the Season podcast. He's kind of getting into that a little bit, and I thought it was fascinating to hear him talk about it. But yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs, 21 years old, gets taken number 12 overall. But yet you've got these veteran running backs. Dalvin Cook's 28. Leonard Fournette, he's also, is he 28 as well? We looked that up earlier, right? Leonard Fournette's 28. I mean, these guys are late 20s, but people start to get nervous about running backs who have too much mileage on them. I mean, Dalvin Cook, four straight 1,100 yard seasons and played all of last year. And yet somehow, well, partly it's because of what he's asking in terms of money. Rookies are cheap, cheap, cheapy tins. They don't make a whole lot. Although if you're in the first round, you make more. So a little bit from Brad Holmes as well, which is pretty interesting. And a lot of attention on the Detroit Lions. A lot of it as we get set for 2023. I know it feels weird to talk football in mid-July. Sometimes, maybe it feels weird for you to hear it. It actually doesn't feel weird to me. So I should take that back or qualify it. The last few years, I feel like we never stop talking about football. It never goes away. And so here we are days away from training camp, but I am not giving up on my some summertime attitude. I've got the summertime tude. I've got summertime plans. Literally every Saturday from now until Labor Day weekend, I've got plans to be on the water, near the water, at a concert. Yeah, I got plans. College roommate coming into town this weekend, and we've got some big plans for the first time ever. I'm going to be up in the crown of the Statue of Liberty. Yes, I'll post some photos. So I'm not ready to give up my summertime yet, but football, you know that whole encroachment thing. Yeah, football's about to encroach on your summer. So we will do a little football before we get through this final hour of the show. If you missed it, big news coming from... Now, this is entertainment, but it's not our sports entertainment, but I still feel like it's significant. And also, I'm wondering if it's going to end up affecting radio, which would be me, radio hosts. It's funny because in radio, the term that is used to describe the hosts or the people who are on air, and I use this term loosely. I used to laugh at it, but we're called, I'm using my air quotations. So Ryan, keep a straight face. Talent. That's what we're called. Look at Ryan's laughing. I mean, that's probably not the best way to ingratiate yourself to the host is to laugh.
You said not to, and it's hard not to.
I know. It's the power of suggestion. So yes, in radio, we're called talent. And actually in news TV, also called talent. So the anchors, that type of thing. That's just how the delineation is done. Talent. And I feel like it's so, the funniest word ever. What, are the producers not talented? The writers aren't talented? Well, the union that I'm in calls us performers. All right. I guess there's some level of performing. You do have to be on. You have to be a performer. If you hadn't heard, this just kicked in 2 hours and 11 minutes ago. The performers, 160,000 of them, who essentially are actors and actresses, have not been able to come to a contract agreement with the producers. And so now my union, their union, but also my union, is on strike. SAG-AFTRA has authorized a strike for its performers. But since it didn't specifically mention talent, maybe I'm not part of that. No, right now this is with TV and film producers. That's their beef. And we already have writers on strike. Now you may have seen, or maybe you don't pay attention. I do because I love serial TV. I love crime dramas. I love the Chicago Fire and PD. I love the NCISs and all those shows. Love Blue Bloods. Oh my gosh, Blue Bloods is one of my favorite shows with Tom Selleck that's set in New York City. So I have a lot of shows, TV shows that I watch that are scripted. And so I'm already starting to see where networks are taking these shows off of their fall schedule. Now, they may end up with reruns, but the fall shows that you love are now in jeopardy. My current favorite show is SEAL Team. I actually got Paramount Plus just for SEAL Team. It's got a lot of other great offerings on it, but I got it originally for SEAL Team. It's my escape from football, my escape from sports, my escape from work. Contrary to popular belief, I cannot watch Star Wars every single day. I could try it for about a month and I probably would be okay. But after that, I'm going to need something else to watch. I guess I'm going to have to pull out my stack of puzzles that I have in my closet or go to streaming. There are plenty of shows on streaming, but that's part of the issue, actually, is that actors and actresses, performers, in the case of SAG-AFTRA, TV and film, actors and actresses, one of their major issues is that they feel like they're not being compensated properly for shows that are on streaming. And along with streaming, the idea of residuals, right? So they're not getting paid. These shows stay on streaming services for not forever always. I mean, they can get pulled, but they do stay on these streaming services and people have access to them for long stretches of time and the actors and actresses aren't getting residuals. So yeah, streaming, residuals. And then this is something else that I find really fascinating. There's a lot more chatter in 2023 about AI, artificial intelligence, taking human jobs. Well, that's one of the major concerns of my union. And okay, just to be fair, I'm not in the SAG part of it, but I am in the AFTRA part of it. And we merged going back probably 8 or 9 years ago. I know a lot of things changed. Our names changed, of course, but like our insurance and all that stuff changed because now I'm in the same union as, say, Jennifer Lawrence or Denzel Washington. It's pretty cool. So I kind of knew this was happening because we've been getting emails and actually we were asked to vote and authorize a strike even before it was going to take into effect. We were asked in June to authorize a strike, to actually vote and authorize a strike because they were anticipating that no deal would be done. And so it's not just about streaming and the new world with so many original shows being offered exclusively on streaming and about the residuals. It's also about AI and artificial intelligence and feeling like a lot of the work that these actors and actresses do, that performers do, is not protected. It could be copied or imitated by AI, or at the very least, used as an inspiration for AI, artificial intelligence. And think about the number of animated films or the number of films that are sci-fi or even films with animals in them, where very often they're using computer graphics and computer programs, and maybe not AI, but really high-tech video capabilities to create whatever atmosphere or background. They're not actually on location. They're on a green screen or they're in a studio somewhere. And all of the background is being put in by computers. So this is the major challenges. They're worried about deepfakes, essentially. AI taking their jobs. And then the same thing that most unions strike over would be pension, which I do pay into my pension fund, pension and insurance and all that jazz. Similar to other industries, COVID and the pandemic hit actors and actresses pretty hard. Now, they make, you would think, a lot more money, but that's really only the upper echelon. Sure, there's a lot of performers that are insulated from any type of work stoppage or the case of a pandemic, but for the most part, they're scraping along. You've heard the whole cliche about struggling actors, struggling actress who's also working as a waitress or whatever else. Well, there's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of those. Now, it's my union. Right now, we've not been asked to walk out. I'm a little bit nervous. I actually warned Ryan earlier in the show, hey, if I get an email that says, I'm not checking my email right now because I'm a little bit nervous. If I get an email that says, you need to walk out as a show of solidarity, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I'm just, beware. You spread the word against with producers, because beware, that may be required. What if I have to cross the picket line to do my radio show? Oh, even worse. What if I have to cross the picket line to do my radio show during football season? I am not walking out during football season. That's not happening. But yeah, we get sent emails every day about where we can join the picket lines and we can protest and demonstrate in our own markets. And we were actually voting on this because I'm part of this union. First time since 1960 that both the writers and the actors have been on strike at the same time. So your fall TV, the TV that you love, it's in jeopardy. And you may not think it will hit streaming now, and it may not hit streaming right away, but it will eventually, because they use actors and actresses and writers for shows that are on streaming as well. And that's part of the issue, is the performers don't feel like they're being compensated for what's happening with streaming, this whole new world with streaming. So it's happened. It's a done deal now. 3 hours and 15 minutes ago. And according to the leaders of the union, they are nowhere close to a deal. Kind of stinky. Maybe takes us back to what it was like in the pandemic, where there weren't a whole lot of new shows and you were missing what you love to watch on TV. I know there are a lot of people who don't watch TV nearly as much. I love TV. TV is my outlet, my escape. And TV, more than movies. I do love movies, but I really love my crime dramas. That's where I'm going to feel it, crime dramas. Oh, dear. So let me know what you think. Is it going to bother you at all? Maybe you didn't know about it, but now you do. It's going to affect you at some point if you like TV. Other than sports, of course, because they're not scripted. They're not scripted. They're not rigged. Just to put your mind at ease. Could you imagine, Ryan, if all of a sudden sports stopped too, and it was because the writer's strike affected the sport?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, stop it. You would too. Could you imagine, though, if like it was the best kept secret in sports? No one knew. People suspected, but no one knew. And all of a sudden, an entire sport comes to a grinding halt because there are no writers to write up the drama.
The golf.
Golf. Just golf. Pickleball. Oh, the WWE. Don't they have writers?
Oh, they do.
Oh, my gosh. It could come to a grinding halt.
Soon.
Soon. It could. It's a good thing they have, like, libraries, entire rooms full of libraries of old events. Man. All right. Let's see. What do we want to do next? A little bit about what did I say before? Oh, a little bit more with Kyler Murray. And then back of the hour, I don't know why Hard Knocks would be a negative. So I thought I would ask a former NFL wide receiver why Hard Knocks would be a negative. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
You know when you see somebody get hurt on TV and, like, you see everybody come dap them up and, like, give their love and, like, it was, like, all that happened in a blur, but it was all, like, the trainers came up to me. I'm on the ground. I wasn't in shock. I was just more so, like, I've been hurt before, but not like this. And I knew something was wrong. You know what I'm saying? I knew something had to be up.
This is After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
The voice of Kyler Murray. Some real extensive comments to the Cardinals website, Cardinals Flight Plan, about his initial injury. So the torn ACL that happened on December 12th of last year against the New England Patriots. And then what the recovery has been like, and of course the target as well. So first time we've really heard him kind of dive into this whole process. And year four was a mess for him for a lot of reasons, not just for the injury, and it was a mess for the Cardinals. And man, you look at the big picture with them and the fact that he got that massive contract right before the season started, and then it really, they never, to use their flight plan kind of title for this series, they never really got their flight off the ground. And for Kyler, it's been not just the pressure of the contract and the expectations and feeling like he had something to prove and everything that happened with Cliff Kingsbury last year that was reported, but also having to deal with the pain and the frustration of recovering from the injury.
After the injury happened, I prehabbed for like 2 weeks or whatever, and that wasn't that bad. But after the surgery, that first like 2 weeks was terrible. You know, moving was tough. And then you're just kind of helpless. Like you're dependent on everybody, but luckily I have, you know, people around me that help me out.
Yeah, the best rehab, the best recovery technology, and certainly personnel that money can buy for professional athletes, as it should be, since they get hurt when they're on the job, if you will. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Kyler Murray to Cardinals Flight Plan. When will he be back? That is the question that everyone wants answered.
When you look, look further down the line, seems like we got a long way to go. Ideally, you know, I want to be back by week one, but that's the goal. At the end of the day, that's the goal, but I can't really look that far ahead because gotta take it one day at a time.
He had a surgery in early January, and the Cardinals kick off the season on September 10th. 9 months, essentially. That's pretty quick for a torn ACL. A few guys have done it. I'm not saying it can't be done, but that is pretty quick. I would think with the Cardinals investing, what is $160 million fully guaranteed into him, that they would probably be okay with waiting a little extra. But it's not Cliff Kingsbury anymore. Now it's Jonathan Gannon. They made a lot of changes, and he's having to start fresh too. At the very least, he can be learning playbook and all that kind of stuff. Last year was not easy in any way, shape, or form. And he certainly does bear some responsibility for that. The leadership was a disaster. There were a lot of issues. It's not fair to blame the quarterback specifically, but he knows. He knows that after the two Pro Bowl seasons, plus the rookie of the year before that, that year four was the dud.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating, especially when, you know, I feel like since I've been in the league, all we've done is go up. You know, I got better every year, and then to take like a, you know, hit a wall year four after, especially after going through the whole contract thing, like I got COVID in camp. I hurt my wrist in camp. So I missed a lot of those reps. And then trying to play catch up during the season. It was just like, it was just kind of like a compilation of f***ed up things going on. But you work your whole life to kind of, I've done everything right as far as off the field, on the field, you know what I'm saying? I try to treat people the right way, but it is what it is, you know what I'm saying? I think winning cures all.
From Cardinals flight plan, Kyler Murray with some pretty, say, pointed comments, some emotion behind that as well about this process, but also year four and how bad it was. And the Cardinals were there dead last in the NFC West again. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, you know what? The Lions used to be the butt of the NFL jokes, and they're just not anymore. They are one of the teams that everybody's going to be watching as we get ready to start training camps. And even as I'm talking about the Cardinals, they don't have their rookies and veterans report until July 25th to Glendale, so they all report together. The Lions, that is not the case. July 19th, next Wednesday, rookies, which includes Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back out of Alabama. And Brad Holmes, the GM of the Detroit Lions, he'll admit that there was a lot of pushback about, or maybe not a lot of pushback, a surprise reaction, maybe even stunning, when the Lions decided to take Gibbs, a running back at the number 12 pick. And he was a guest. Brad was a guest on the Peter Schrager podcast. It's called The Season. And Peter brought that up and said, did you realize that people were just thrown? They were just thrown for a loop when you drafted a running back number 12?
Man, it's funny that she said you heard that about him going that early, because I was sitting there thinking, I was like, nobody's going to do this except us. And then after we picked him, then I heard all these other gentlemen.
Oh, yeah, no, that's who we wanted. Yeah.
I'm glad you picked him there, because he wasn't going to make it.
I love that. I love that Brad's laughing about it, too. He and Dan Campbell have such great personalities. So they take a running back at number 12. People go crazy over it as the draft is playing out, the broadcast of it, all of that. You remember analysts, they freaked out over it, running back out of Alabama. But Brad says, yeah, he heard from other teams, oh, we were going to take him. So why then? Why take Gibbs that high, a running back at number 12?
I went to that Texas-Alabama game earlier in the year. I saw his body type, and like, this guy looked intriguing. Then I kind of saw what he was doing in both phases. He can run it, but what he was doing as a receiver and the explosiveness and everything about him, and we just kept doing work on him. And like I said, you kind of do some draft prep during the season and kept doing work on him, and that was just kind of it for me. He's a weapon. And when you talk about all the running backs going in the first round and all that kind of stuff, I always say, like, if he's a weapon, then forget the RB. We thought he was a multi-phase, elite, explosive, positionless weapon.
You know, the funny part that I remember is that Jahmyr Gibbs himself said he was surprised that he got taken that high in the draft. That he was just hanging out with some friends during the draft, and that the phone rang and it was the Lions. He was shocked himself. And actually, it's funny that Brad Holmes mentions the Texas-Alabama game, because the other running back that was taken in the top 12 was from Texas, Bijan Robinson. Other than Saquon Barkley, hadn't had running backs taken that high. They don't generally go in the top 10, but Saquon did. Remember, the Giants picked him number 2 overall, going back to 18. And boy, was there some backlash then. So the Falcons and the Lions, they stirred the pot by taking running backs in the first round there. So kind of fun with Brad Holmes on the Peter Schrager podcast. All right, coming up, part of my conversation with a former NFL wide receiver who answers my question of why is Hard Knocks a negative? I actually think it's kind of cool. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Hola, it's me, Amy Lawrence, the host of After Hours. And by now, maybe you've heard Aaron Rodgers trash Hard Knocks and grudgingly agree that they're going to have to do it. But he said the NFL forced it down their throats. I don't get it, though. Why is Hard Knocks such a bad thing? I decided I would ask former NFL wide receiver Mike Pritchard, who joined us from Vegas earlier in the show.
It won't be a negative. I mean, I think what people need to realize is Hard Knocks and the Jets, they're going to have to create some storylines. You know, I think they potentially had a big storyline, but it got resolved with the Quinnen Williams signing and the right. deal for him. So, you know, they're not going to have to deal with that. Much like Rex Ryan had to deal with Darrelle Revis back in the day when the Hard Knocks was participating with the Jets. So that storyline's out the way. Aaron Rodgers is a storyline himself. There's a lot of characters on that roster, too. So, you know, it's going to be interesting because I think today's players are all about branding. And it's going to be a great opportunity for a lot of those players on that team and that market to be able to brand themselves a little bit. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be very interesting, a Hard Knocks situation this coming season.
I think with the personalities like Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, they've got some real personalities there, not to mention Robert Saleh and, of course, Aaron Rodgers, plus the Zach Wilson component of the whole thing. Yeah, it feels like they got plenty for the cameras to focus on.
Absolutely. And the focus is not going to be all on Aaron Rodgers, too, right? Because, I mean, I know he is a Hall of Famer in waiting. He is supposed to be the difference maker as a quarterback for that franchise now. But like you just mentioned, I mean, there are so many different ways that Hard Knocks can go, the interesting stories, the interesting backgrounds, you know, just the interesting characters like you mentioned. I think the whole situation is right. I mean, that market, too, back in New York with that team, a lot of people are excited. From a betting standpoint about the Jets, as well as from a fandom standpoint as well.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up because I'm wondering, how do you see this new look Jets team impacting the division, the AFC East as a whole?
They're a complete team. I think Coach Saleh did what has not been done in a lot of years. You know, you can go back to Bill Parcells when you can change a culture. And that's what needed to happen. I mean, the Jets routinely was picking in the top of the draft. They were drafting excellent player, a lot of talent. But their culture was not at a level where it needed to be. And I think Robert Saleh coming into the organization and kind of changing that. You remember the "I'm taking receipts" comments at the podium? I mean, that right there is something that as a player, one, you respect the fact that your coach, your head coach, put that out there. Now we got to back him up. But then also the willingness for head coach to do that, knowing that his players will back him up. So that spoke volumes to me about the Jets. And now assimilating the talent that they have over the last 2 years and that you add in this type of quarterback, I think it has the makings of being very, very special. I did something on VSiN in which I did track record of quarterbacks that are Hall of Fame in waiting. In other words, these are quarterbacks that are Hall of Famers already, but they're just still playing. And their track record has been outstanding in terms of getting to the playoffs and even winning Super Bowls. I mean, that's Tom Brady, that's Peyton Manning, that's Warren Moon, that's Joe Montana. You know, quarterbacks that left their other situation or other team for whatever reason, Brett Favre, for whatever reason, and yet they go on and have success with their new team, even though they're in the twilight of their career. So I think Aaron Rodgers fits that description as well. And, you know, I think he's going to incorporate himself and be very comfortable with that culture up there in New York as well.
Mike Pritchard's a former NFL wide receiver and spent years both in Denver as well as in Seattle and Atlanta. As you talk about Hall of Famers, you cross paths with one when you were in Denver. How much does that change the depth of the offense? How much does it change the knowledge and just the way that the offense is approached when you have a guy who is of that caliber, like an Aaron Rodgers?
It is outstanding. I mean, I got the privilege to play with Brett Favre at the beginning of his career, not quite a Hall of Famer at that point, but we all know how that story ended. And then, you know, my journey continued with John Elway and certain Warren Moon. These guys are just on a different level. I mean, I was going into my fourth year in the National Football League when I linked up with John Elway, and I thought I knew a lot at the receiver position, but I didn't know half as much as I needed to know. And John Elway kind of brought that out for me. And same thing, similar to Warren Moon. You know, I'm going into the latter years of my career, but yet I'm still learning from these great quarterbacks. It just, they're so meticulous. They want to strive for perfection on each and every play, each and every competitive situation. And not everybody's wired that way, right? But I think when you get to that level, when you've had that much success, you have to find ways to motivate yourself you have to find flaws so you can still get better. Right. And I think, you know, the fact that Aaron Rodgers is still playing, there's something out there that he's chasing. And as a bettor, I'm focused in on that. I really want to know. And I think it's another Super Bowl because he could hang it up. He could just walk away and he could have hosted Jeopardy. Right. I mean, he could have done he can still do a lot of things, but he's still playing this game that he loves. And something's motivating him. And if you give me a great player that's motivated, then usually positive things will happen.
Did you also cross paths with Mike Shanahan when you were in Denver? Because he is now a semifinalist for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I did. So I started with Wade Phillips. He was the head coach when I got traded to Denver. And then Pat Bowlen moved on from Wade Phillips to Mike Shanahan. So I was able to get coached by Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak as well. And that was the beginning or the new beginning of Coach Shanahan as a head coach. And that led to what I believe is a Hall of Fame career. He absolutely should be in the Hall of Fame.
What made him a special coach?
Attention to detail, meticulous. It's the same qualities as a player. That the competitiveness too. You know, you were not going to out coach or out scheme Mike Shanahan. He was going to have an answer for something. He was going to know exactly what you were trying to do against his offense. And we had a saying, you know, when somebody, you know, that person, it could be a family member, it could be a friend. But they come over to your house and, you know, they get into your kitchen, right? They start opening up your refrigerator. They start going through your covers and seeing what you got. We all know some people like that. Well, that was a term that we used with Mike Shanahan, Coach Shanahan, that he would get into the kitchen of the defensive coordinator on the opposing team. And he would know their schemes. He would know their tendencies. He would know them inside and out. And that would just make the game so much easier for everybody. So, yeah, absolutely. Well-deserving as a finalist, but I hope he gets into the Hall of Fame.
We're excited to have Mike Pritchard back on the show, former NFL wide receiver, is also now part of VSiN, as he's mentioned. He's their lead NFL analyst. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So here we are. We're just days away from the start of training camps, which blows me away because I feel like the summer just began, Mike. What goes on with a player? What type of emotions? What type of last-second preparation before you get to camp?
Well, you know, Amy, I think at this point, everybody, you know, they had their vacation after the mandatory mini camps and everything. And so you had about a good mental break, at least in terms of about 4 or 5, maybe even 6 weeks. But you also needed to stay in shape because you have these conditioning tests that you have to pass because you want to get off on the right foot and make that impression once you get back in, and certainly be in shape, too. And you know, there was a time where training camp actually helped you as a player get into shape. But with 3 preseason games and the rapid nature and the veteran players, they're not going to play that much, as we know. So it's important and it's vital that these guys, even though they had a break, still stayed in tip-top shape. So you want to make sure that once you get to camp that you're going to pass these conditioning tests and you're really going to hit the ground running and also avoid injury if you can, right? I mean, that's the nature of the beast, I think, for a lot of players. You don't want to get nicked up. You don't want to have a pulled muscle. You don't want to have anything that could handcuff you for the beginning of the year. So absolutely, I think everybody's excited, but at the same time, making sure that everything is kosher when it comes to being in shape for your team.
All right. I need to know for real, Mike, what was the attitude among veterans about training camp? Because we hear all these jokes about how guys who've been in the league a few years, they don't really want to go back to dorms, if that's the case. They don't really want to be there at the beginning of camp when it's a lot of conditioning and it's freaking hot. So when you were a veteran, how did you actually feel about camp?
Well, I mean, back in the day, back in my day, I mean, you know, way back when, I mean, it was really 2-a-days, right? I mean, we had what we called it hell week. I mean, we would go out there 10 days in a row with double practices, padded up, and then we would get physical. We would hit in both of those practices. So it was hell week. I mean, it was grueling. Now, because of player safety you know, better minds are prevailing here in terms of we don't need to have that type of punishment on our bodies and get ready for the season. So it is grueling because you are away from your families. But I think, too, when you look at certain teams and the facilities that they have, like, for instance, the Las Vegas Raiders, I would love to go to training camp for the Las Vegas Raiders because you have everything.
Yes.
You have virtual reality. You have every equipment. I would spend the night, actually, in the facility. I wouldn't even go back to the hotel. if I didn't have to, because it's so exquisite. So it's so different than, you know, staying in a Best Western, not to knock a Best Western or a dorm. but yeah, I mean, I think today's players, they have it so much better, so much more comfortable.
Mike Pritchard makes it sound like it's a five-star hotel, a five-star resort to go to NFL training camp. Wow. I asked him which mode or which version of training camp better prepares you for what's to come during the season. And he did acknowledge that the season is longer now, but he says that he felt more prepared when they would go out and that would practice in pads. And even though there is the risk of injury, that's pretty much the case all the time. I just saw this tweet from a friend who listens in Canada. Hurry up September. No hurrying up September. Do you know that the first Sunday of the NFL season is exactly 2 months away? What? Well, not exactly. It's 2 months away, give or take a couple of days. But that's crazy. No hurry up September. We got to take our time and get there because I need more summertime. All right. All of our show is podcasted. Find it on our Odyssey app on the CBS Sports Radio website. Soon after the show is done, we're back, Sunny. I have a great summer weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!